1 Samuel chapter number 1. I want to read an opening verse here. And again, as we did this morning, it's unusual that we would ever have the beginning of two books of the Bible on the same day. But as we began this morning in the book of Luke, excited tonight to be able to begin into 1 Samuel. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, in verse number 1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zupit." My glasses are not helping me here, okay? "The son of Zoph, an Ephrathite." Please forgive me on that. "And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." Let's ask God's blessings, and we'll jump into this book tonight. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight to look at these things. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to study your word. I pray that this be a help for all that have come, and as we begin our look at this great book of the Bible and all that is therein, I pray that you would direct our thoughts to our own personal walk. And there are so many examples of everyday life in 2017. And I just pray that this would be a challenge for us. I pray that as we see the decisions of other people in this book, that you'd help us to make application in our own lives. I pray that we would follow the great strengths that are given in this book. And I pray, Father, that we would avoid the pitfalls that are also given in this book. Direct me as I convey these things tonight. I pray that it would help each one to grow in their walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first book of Samuel. The first book of Samuel. If I can read to you from a commentator as it relates to this book. "The book represents the personal history of Samuel, last of the judges. It records the moral failure of the priesthood under Eli and of the judges in Samuel's attempt to make the office hereditary. In his prophetic office, Samuel was faithful, and in him begins the line of writing prophets. Henceforth, the prophet, not the priest, is conspicuous in Israel. In this book, the theocracy, as exercised through judges, ends. And the line of kings begins with a man named Saul." 1 Samuel, if you want to write this in your notes tonight, the theme of this book is the foolishness of a human king. The overall theme of the book is the foolishness of a human king. Well, let's walk through a few things and look at the past leading up to what we have recorded in this book. A reminder that Genesis 1 through 11 deal with the world as a whole. And then in Genesis chapter 12, God calls out his chosen people. We find the names of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We find that time in which they are sojourning in Egypt. Under the leadership of Joseph, God protects his chosen people. We find them being called out of Egypt under the leadership of a man by the name of Moses. Moses leads God's chosen people. He leads them out of Egypt. He leads them out of bondage. He leads them to the edge of the promised land. He sends out the spies to spy out the land. And as that children's church song goes, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And because the people listened to those 10 spies, the Bible says that they did not have faith in God, and so God caused them to wander in the wilderness. Sin kept Moses from leading them into the promised land. We'll see and consider how that had effects on what transpired in the nation of Israel from there forward. Moses had made a decision not to listen to God, and instead of speaking to the rock, the Bible tells us that he smote the rock. The Bible says that that very sin kept him from leading Israel into the promised land. God then raised up a man by the name of Joshua. Joshua receives the mantle of leadership from Moses and leads the people into the promised land. He leads them in conquering all of the major enemies in the promised land. And there was a problem. The people failed to drive out all the enemies of the land. And though those major enemies were defeated, there were pockets of Canaanites that were not utterly driven out. Because they did not drive them out, the Bible tells us in the beginning of Judges that there arose another generation which knew not the Lord. And so we find in the history of the Judges a consistent pattern within the nation of Israel. It's consistent in that it walks us all the way through the book of Judges. Israel would find itself in rebellion. They rebelled against God or they sinned. The Bible says that God would send an oppressor. He would rebuke them, and it took them into slavery. Being in slavery, they would seek Almighty God in supplication. There was deep remorse. They would cry out. They would pray to God and ask for deliverance. And God would send a deliverer or a judge. And we're familiar with many of the names of those judges that came to deliver Israel. But we come to the end of Judges and we find a set of very troubling verses. The Bible says in Judges 21, 24, and 25, "The children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence every man to his inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." What a sad commentary on the nature of what is taking place in a nation. So they've transferred power or leadership through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We've gone to that man Moses and to the next man Joshua, and now through a series of judges. And when we come into this book of the Bible, we find that Israel still in the middle of the nature of the days in which every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. We find a priest by the name of Eli. And he has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. The Bible tells us that the leadership of the nation would transfer from Eli to a man by the name of Samuel. And so as we consider 1 Samuel, we're going to see these people in the book. The opening chapters convey to us the story of a wonderful mother by the name of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. We look at the end of Eli's leadership in the nation and how it's transferred to Samuel. Samuel was the prophet, priest, and judge in Israel. Some have well referred to him as the final judge in the nation of Israel, that go-between in the theocracy with God in the leadership of the nation. The Bible says that the people cry out and say, "We want to be like every other nation." And so they desire a king. And the Bible says that they looked out amongst them and saw this man by the name of Saul. The Bible declares to us that they select him primarily for his outward appearance. He was head and shoulders above all others in the nation. But throughout this book, we're going to see the recurring theme of the foolishness of a human king. We're going to see the life of a man by the name of Jonathan, a great friend of David. I believe with all of my heart, Jonathan was right after the vein of David's spiritual walk with God. As you will watch the victories that Jonathan won, as you will watch the statements that Jonathan made, Jonathan was a great man of God as well. We're going to see Jesse, the father of David, that has these boys that are in service for his nation. And we're going to consider that final boy, the boy by the name of David, that one that is out keeping the sheep, watching over those few sheep, as his brother declared, that would one day become the king in Israel. It's hard to imagine that you would look at a man taking care of the few sheep in the field and declare with a prophetic note that one day will be the king in Israel. So those are primarily the main characters that we'll see here in the book. Now there are many other characters that we will look at, and we'll look at their strengths and weaknesses, but let's also consider the places of the book. We're going to look at cities like Shiloh and the cities of the Philistines. We'll look at places like Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, Bethlehem and Jerusalem, Ziklag and Mount Gilboa. But what is the path that leads us through this book? There are four different major sections that we'll consider in this path that leads us through the book. Again, the theme of the book is that of that weakness that is found in a human king, all the characters and all the places, but it's divided into four main parts. 1 Samuel chapter 1 through 1 Samuel chapter 4 in verse number 22, it's the story of Samuel until the death of Eli. From chapter 5 and verse 1 through chapter 8 and verse number 2, we're going to look at the history of the taking of the ark to the demand for a king. And imagine with me as they go through very dark days in the end of the book of Judges, and now into these days with Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. And again, if we were to understand, or as we begin to understand, where Hophni and Phinehas were spiritually and how their lives affected others in their outlook on Almighty God. Hophni and Phinehas were exceedingly wicked men. They made a mockery of the spiritual leadership of the nation. And we'll look then as Eli passes away and Hophni and Phinehas pass away, from that time in which the ark is taken all the way to the point of demanding a king. They said, "Let us be like every other nation." We go from the beginning of chapter 9 in verse 1 through the end, or approximately the end of chapter 15, and it's the reign of Saul till the call of David. We're going to consider Saul's rise. Saul had great potential. You're going to see things about Saul's life that seem to indicate that he was on a great path for success. And yet he begins to make poor choices. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God is taken from him. And the hand of God, or the anointing of God, is then placed upon this future king, King David. So we go from the story of Samuel to the death of Eli in the first section. The second section, from the taking of the ark, or the fall of the ark as it is taken away, to the demand for a king. We want to be like everyone else. We go into the reign of Saul, and we'll see how he was at times successful, but then we'll see his failures to the point that God turned his attention to another, which of course would be King David. And then we're going to consider in the latter part of the book, from the time of the call of David until the death of Saul. And I tell you, even as I say that, it saddens me to think of the end of Saul. And when we come to the end and you see those closing verses and the nature of the decision that Saul made in that final battle, it saddens me that Israel reached that low point. The weaknesses of a human king. The events recorded in 1 Samuel cover a period of approximately 120 and 15 years. We're going to see in this book love, great sacrificial love. We're going to see in this book hatred. We're going to see devotion and friendship, trust. We're going to see marriage. And it's just coincidence that the next word is war. Faithfulness and depression, success, failure, obedience and disobedience. I believe with all of my heart this book is a microcosm for the attributes of mankind. And the list that I just read, love, hate, devotion, friendship, trust, marriage, war, faithfulness, depression, success, failure, obedience and disobedience. Is that not 2017? I guarantee that you will see yourself in one or more people in this study of 1 Samuel. So let me encourage you, be here. Invest yourself in what God will teach us through this great book of the Bible. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this brief look into this book of the Bible. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to look back at these Bible characters and to see their strengths and weaknesses, to see what pleased their Heavenly Father, to see what absolutely displeased their Heavenly Father. As we look at the nature of the responses and the emotions, the actions, the reactions, I pray that we would be sensitive. With each passing moment, I pray that we would be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There is much to be seen for mothers in the life of Hannah. There's much to be seen in fathers in the life of Eli. There's much to be seen as it relates to leadership. There's much to be seen as it relates to being a servant. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, as we study this book together on Sunday nights, I pray, I beg you, that we would be willing to line ourselves up with the Holy Spirit. That you would look within us, and if there be any wicked way in us, if we find these characteristics, these attributes from the youngest of our congregation through the oldest, I pray that we would change. We would humbly submit that we might reflect you in a better way. Lord, I thank you for the investment in this service tonight from all of the musicians, from the report of the missions trip. And I pray that just giving these points related to this opening section of 1 Samuel, that it help us all in our walk with you this week. As the song has been sung, be strong in the Lord. May that statement be very, very true for us this week. May it be in our lips. May it be the theme of our life. We be strong in your strength. Thank you for this time tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.